Welcome to our morning show today on WRCO Radio. We have a studio full of talent. We are going to be talking about Snow White, the adaptation by Tim Kelly. It's going to be produced in our community coming up in April. In fact, it'll be Friday, April 17th, Saturday, April 18th, and Sunday, April 19th, and then the following weekend as well, the 24th, 25th, and 26th here in Richland Center. So joining us in the studio, we have producer Andrew Sharp. We have director Dave Tim. We'll also have Jennifer Seide in with us talking about the costumes, amazing costumes for the show. And then also we'll have actors and actresses, including Mila Marx, who will be playing Snow White. We have Hunter Danes, who is Snore, and Alaric Riley, who is going to be playing Sarge. So good luck to the cast and crew. And Andrew, here we go again with another production. This is going to be awesome, I think.
Yes, and this has been a fun one, and everyone's getting along very well. Not that we usually don't, we usually do, but everybody's having fun. We're ahead of schedule, which is nice for the producer and the director and on the costumer and stuff like that to not be scrambling or feel like we're going to have to be scrambling. So things are going very well.
You have a spring break this week for anybody at Richland Center. Does that kind of play into it, or did you kind of work that in?
No, it plays against it, actually, because the Queen, who is Liz Niemeyer and the choral director, has taken her chorus to New York this week. So they're gone. So we have certain cast members. Olivia, Elise, who is
my daughter.
Her daughter. Mm-hmm.
She's having a good time, though.
Sorry. I'll bet she is.
Right. So, but, you know, they're broadening their horizons. And I don't know if are going to see a Broadway
yes,
show?
Yes, two.
Yeah, so they're going to see two Broadway shows.
They're seeing Wicked and Hamilton.
Yeah, wow.
They'll come back inspired then.
They will, absolutely.
That's great. Yeah. Well, give us a little overview, Andrew, if you would, of Snow White, the adaptation by Tim Kelly.
Yeah, well, it's actually based more on the original Snow White story that the Brothers Grimm put out. The first Snow White was 1812, and then they did various revisions of it until they finally had more or less their final version in 1857. And by modern standards, it's pretty grim. The Brothers Grimm are usually pretty grim. So in this version, for instance, in the original version, it was Snow White's mother that was so jealous of her. And then it did get changed to her stepmother, but the original was the mother. Instead of demanding that the huntsman bring back her heart, she wanted him to bring back her lungs and liver so she could eat them. And so then, of course, the huntsman does spare Snow White, obviously, right? And the huntsman brings back a wild boar's heart and lungs, or lungs and liver, and the queen does eat them. But then, in the end, the prince comes and saves Snow White, and then the queen is going to go to... She's mad because she can't find Snow White, and the magic mirror tells her that he's still out there somewhere. But she goes to the wedding of the prince and shows up at the wedding and finds out that the bride is Snow White. And, of course, being good Christians, they forgive her.
Oh.
No, of course not. This is the Brothers Grimm. They don't forgive her. They make her dance in red-hot iron shoes until she dies. I guess the Germans thought that was justice back in those days. So, anyway.
Luckily, they changed that.
Yeah,
over the years, right?
Disney. So then Disney, there were a couple of silent movies of Snow White, one in 1902. I've been boning up on this, obviously. One in 1916. And then Walt Disney in 1933 decided that he wanted to make a full-length animated feature film, and everybody told him he was crazy. Nobody would sit still for a cartoon that was an hour and a half long. W.C. Fields said nobody would sit through a cartoon that was that long. But he wanted to do it, and at first he was actually going to do Alice Through the Looking Glass, but one of the other studios did a version of that that actually had W.C. Fields in it, just by the by. So then he changed to Snow White, and they started working on it, and this was his project. And they put an incredible amount. Usually the Disney shorts at that time were about $250,000. Wow. This was going to be over $1 million. And they really didn't have the financing. Walt Disney mortgaged his house, mortgaged basically everything that he had for the money. They still didn't have enough money. So they had to borrow money. They needed another $250,000 to finish it. So they go to the Bank of America and bring in the Bank of America executive and show him how much of the movie that they had. And he sat all the way through it, never laughed, never smiled, never anything, just sat there. And then it's over, the lights come up, there's the moment of silence, and he turns to Walt Disney and says, "That thing will make a hat full of money. Your loan is approved."
Ah.
And so they went on. And then it was the first animated feature film, 1937. It was also, interestingly, the first movie to have a soundtrack. That was the first movie soundtrack was Snow White. You know, they're, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." And "Someday My Prince Will Come" and the other songs. So it was the first record from a movie. It did very well. And I think that Snow White is the only Disney princess that's in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But everybody's familiar with the story nowadays in one way or the other. But I... Long digression. Tim Kelly's version is based more on that original version, where the witch tries to, the queen tries to poison her three times. First with a bodice that is too tight, and then the dwarves come back and save her. And second with the poison comb, and the dwarves come back and save her. And the third time with the poison apple that gets stuck in her throat. And in the old versions, they're transporting, the princess having Snow White transported from one spot to another, and the servants stumble and jog her, and it makes the piece of the apple in her throat dislodge. So instead of the kiss, it was the apple not being in her throat anymore. So, that's pretty much the background that I have on Snow White.
Interesting. Yeah. And so this will be a little bit more kind of in between the movie and the original then.
Right. You know, Disney was the first one to name the dwarves. The dwarves didn't have, they were just the dwarves. It's very much, I think this is much more Disney really than it is the original. So
the dwarves have a little bit different names though in this production,
well,
don't they?
Disney, Darth Vader runs the Walt Disney Studios nowadays. They didn't just buy Star Wars. They bought Darth Vader and installed him as the executive. They've got the copyright, and the copyright's good until 2033.
Oh.
And so the names are copyrighted, so you can't use the names. So Tim Kelly had to change the names of the dwarves. Now, Snow White goes so far back that's not copyrighted. But they came up.
I wondered why. Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you why that is.
It's copyrighted. Oh. So. Yeah. And there's certain things you can get away with a copyright. When we did Frankenstein, for instance, there are five features of the monster. And if you have all five of those, like the bolts in the neck, the scar in the forehead, the flat head, blah, blah, blah. If you have five of them, then it's copyright infringement. If you only have four, you can get away with it. So when I did Frankenstein, we did not have the scar on the forehead and didn't have to worry about the copyright.
Huh. If you're doing the Munsters, though, you'd have to be careful too.
Yeah. Of course, the Munsters, they probably had enough money to. Maybe he didn't. I'll have to look at Fred Gwynne sometime.
He had the bolts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. They probably had enough money to buy their way through the copyright.
Probably did. Yeah. Yeah. So. But interesting how Snow White became so famous, and you know they have a whole empire now, basically.
Right.
She's the star of Disney World.
Yeah. In some versions, I've heard that Snow White kind of saved the studio. Well, it saved it because it spent so much money. But I mean, it did very well. It was the highest grossing movie until Gone with the Wind 2 years later, and then Gone with the Wind beat it. So,
okay. Yeah. Some good history there.
Yeah,
let's bring on the director over on the other side. He's been quiet so far. Dave Tim, good morning.
Everybody's quiet when Andrew's talking. It's just kind of the way it goes.
Not me, normally.
No. Well, we're learning. We're learning about it.
We are.
Right?
Yeah.
So why did you want to tackle this particular production?
Well, you know, the goal of, I think one of the major goals of Community Players is to, you know, provide live entertainment for the area, but also an opportunity for young people to come in. And this show just has such an opportunity for so many young people. You know, we have, I think we have Well, it's a cast of 30, and I think 20 of them are children.
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah.
You know, age 12 or under, and some teenagers as well. So it's a great opportunity. So this, you know, I read a lot of scripts. This one kind of jumped out at me as an opportunity to do that. It started with a cast. The actual original script has a cast of 16, and I created a lot of other roles for to get other people involved.
Is it a challenge, though? I mean, you look at the script, and you're like, I need a lot of young people here.
We want a lot of young people. So, yeah, you know, there's forest animals that come in and interact with Snow White and add a little comedic element to the show. We have some narrators that kind of help keep the flow of the show going. So there are a lot of challenges usually that come in front of a director, and my job has been so easy just because of the talent that has come in and the hard work that they've put in to it. I always tell the story of the easiest job I ever had. Years ago, I directed On Golden Pond, and it's a small cast, which is good for a director, but I mean, there's two major roles in that, and I thought, what's going to happen here? And then Louise Murphy and Norbert Kalnin walked into the auditions, and it was like, I was done. My job was done. They, you know, they just did it. And so
it made you look smarter, didn't it?
That's what's happening here. I mean, with all of the things that are going on, you know, I'm spending a lot of hours, but my job has been so easy just because of how talented everybody is.
If I can add, a lot of these kids are first time.
Right. We've got a great,
like, yeah, these are, they've never done it before.
We've got a really good mix of some, you know, seasoned actors and actresses, but some new people that have come in. That's always great. We want to get people in and involved in theater. That's a good point. It's been a really good mix. And like Andrew said, everybody's getting along almost too well. We have issues at the end of...
When everybody's leaving. Bye! Bye! I love you! Bye! You're like, get out of here!
Mila's mom said one night, it's every night is like they're saying goodbye like they're going off to war. Like,
well,
it's the end of the world, you know? And that's good. I mean, that's just the chemistry is really good.
When you have auditions, you know, we always read those, you know, you're going to have auditions on these certain nights. You never know who's going to show up, but sounds like you hit a home run.
This was the hardest part about being a director. We had 49 people who auditioned, and in the end, only 30 parts. So I had to say no to a lot of people. But that just shows how much talent there is, you know, in the area.
We usually try to cast everybody if we can, but the stage at the auditorium is only so big, and I don't think we could fit 50 people on it, really. You could for a recital or something like that, but
mm-hmm. Has some advantages, though, you know, the
acoustics.
The acoustics,
yeah,
and
the new seats.
The ambiance of
the whole thing.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm curious, do you suggest this for young children, or what do you think? Is it too scary?
Yeah, it's family friendly, definitely. We have I don't know, who would be the youngest member of the cast, do you think?
Oh, is it Joanne?
Joanna, maybe, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, we've got young kids in the cast, and I think they would be enthralled with the. And, you know, Liz, as the queen, has some menacing moments that the kids might, but I mean, it's not going to be anything terrible, and it's mostly, I try to keep it comedic and light, and it's definitely family friendly.
So there's enough kind of comic moments in there to kind of break up the tension a little bit.
Yeah, well, they'll be enthralled by the dwarves and by the forest animals and certainly by Snow White. So,
Let's talk about costumes. Jennifer Seide is here.
About costumes.
Is it a challenge to put uniforms and costumes on all these players?
It always is. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a challenge. It's just, every year is different. Every time we do it, it's different. We have different people. Although there are those that I know their size, because I've been doing this almost 5 years, and I know, I'm like, yeah, I got you. I don't need your size. You're good. You've been in every production that I've been in. Oh yeah, my son. Yeah, that's my son speaking over there. Don't know his size. So yeah, just adding like you know, sizing, especially when you have children, you know, getting them to wear things the way that I want them to wear them properly and stuff. But other than that, I mean, it's just fun. It's really lighthearted, especially the woodland animals and stuff. I was making masks last night for some of the woodland animals, and just, it's just kind of, it's fun to see then to make them, and then seeing them on stage, it really comes to life, and just having people that are so willing to be like, okay, I'll wear that, you know, be like, hey, can you try this? Yeah, well, okay, yeah, I will. So, and just having the, even these new kids, you know, it's sad every time a production's over, because I bond with all of these people, and I always say this every time, it's a theater family, and it really is, because I bond with all these people. These kids, I love them. I mean, and you build a relationship with them. You're working with them. You're having fun with them. And, you know, it is, like I said, it's family, and you see them out and you give them a big hug. And there's kids I haven't been in production with for years. I'll see them out and I'll get a big hug from them. And it's just great.
When you're putting together what everybody's going to wear, when the script comes, is there a suggestion?
Sometimes there is. Okay. I don't tend to follow that. I do my own thing. But there are times that I have looked it up, and I, you know, if I'm a little stumped on what to do, or I want a better version of what the idea of the costume should be. But primarily I just kind of go by what I want, and then I ask the, you know, the directors and others, you know, what is this, okay, is this what you're thinking, is there anything I can do, can I change it, can I make something different, alter it, you know. And I do make a lot of this one. I don't always make a lot of the costumes. Sometimes I use what we have. This one I'm making a lot of them, just because there are a lot of forest animals, and you know, expense wise it's just easier for me to sew up a bunch of costumes and do a bunch of things rather than, you know, breaking the budget.
Sure.
So, the dwarves, yeah, there was seven dwarves. Yes, I'm not telling you why they're comedic, though, because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but there was some fun stuff with the dwarves that is going to be really comical, in my opinion. I couldn't stop laughing when I put stuff on them, so...
Do you typically stand backstage with a needle and thread then?
I do always have a needle and thread. Yep, I do have a scissors normally in my purse. I always have a needle and thread. I normally carry pins, safety pins, duct tape, you know.
Whatever it takes.
Hot glue. I normally bring a hot glue gun or something just in case something breaks or something needs altered while we're going.
Safety pins.
Yep, I said safety pins, yep.
Yeah. Andrew, have you ever done, I mean, have you done some videos backstage, but I think that's kind of a play in itself, like all of the things behind the scenes that go into a production.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And for a director, and I think Dave could agree with this, a lot of times it's the stuff you don't know about. And then 3 years later, they tell you that this happened or that happened or you know, whatever. And you go, oh, geez, I had no idea. You know?
Reminds me of parents, you know. They're
right.
Glad I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, yeah, we were hanging by our fingertips, but we just got down just in time to, yeah, okay, all right.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah, so...
Sounds like things are in order. If you guys were going to put it on, how close are you right now, Dave, would you say?
You know, like Andrew said, we're ahead of schedule, but we started earlier than usual, and the reason I chose to do that is because I knew that this week was coming with the spring break issues, and I will mention Dwayne Rose is in the play. He plays the walking, talking magic mirror. But he's also like our magic carpenter, because he's doing all of this work and coming in. And so we're ahead of schedule for in terms of putting the actual stage together. I would say a lot of times we're a week before showtime when we're at this point. So we're sitting pretty good. I hate to say that, because we keep saying, oh, we got 4 weeks. Oh, we got 3 weeks. All of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
Oh, we got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night.
But I think we're sitting pretty right now, and we're going to keep plugging away. And you know, then it's a matter of putting everything together. The lighting, the sound cues, the props, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and so it, yeah, but it's coming together, and I'll be glad when we get to next Monday when we can sit down with the whole group again and start putting it together.
Dwayne Rose is one of those veterans for you. I mean, what show has he not been in recently?
He's been a lot of shows, and very valuable that way, but also as a carpenter, he's been a blessing.
You brought along some young cast members. We're going to get to them after the break here, but we'll introduce you to them in just a little bit. We're talking Snow White today on The Morning Show. Welcome back to The Morning Show there. Good job by some of the players of Community Players. Joining us, we have some cast members talking about Snow White, and a director over here on the other side of the room is Dave Tim. Dave, maybe you can introduce us to the young players you've got here in the studio.
Yeah, we've got Snow White, of course, here, but we've got 2/7 of the dwarves here. I'll let them tell you more about their characters, but very happy to have some young talent here. A couple of people who you may have recognized because they've been in a few plays.
Absolutely. Well, we have Hunter Danes and we have Illyric Riley who will be joining us here. Hunter, tell us about Snore. What can you tell us about?
He sleeps a lot.
is that a stretch for you? Do you have to?
I don't really have to do much but sleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you know a lot about Snow White before you joined the cast?
I mean, not really, but
we'd seen it.
Yeah, uh-huh. We've seen it, but while we were doing it in the beginning, we watched the live action for my mom to kind of get input on what to do with the costumes and stuff.
Oh, it's for me.
just for me to find out how he acts and stuff, and I have a few lines and. Mostly talking about sleeping or food.
So you say it's going to be kind of a comic role.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And can you give us a little bit of insight into what you're going to be wearing for a costume?
No.
It's going to be a surprise. But all the kids, the dwarves, are... Do not like wearing it. It's gonna be.
I'm a tyrant. I made them wear crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Good. You're an Elvis fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you going to channel your inner Elvis when you play this part or not?
Do you have a sleepy Elvis?
No. Interesting. Well, you're a man of my own heart, enjoying Elvis there. What are some of your other interests when you're not on stage?
Guitar.
I play guitar.
And Elvis.
And I play Elvis music. And other recently, I got a hand injury, so I haven't really been able to play my guitar. But now I'm going to be able to because I'm off of it. But One Piece, an anime.
What's your favorite Elvis song, by the way? I'm just curious.
Either Heartbreak Hotel or Suspicious Minds, or In the Ghetto.
You can't go wrong with those, Andrew.
I just heard that George Harrison from the Beatles was going down the street when he was a kid and heard Heartbreak Hotel coming from a window, and was so entranced that he walked over under the window and listened to the whole song. It was the first Elvis he'd ever heard.
Yeah, over in England. Quite an influential song, no doubt about it.
But this is my 7th play.
7th play?
Yeah.
Wow. So. You're a veteran of the stage then. Do you get nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. But in those trouble fours, I had a small part. I only had one scene, and all I had to do was a scream. So.
That wasn't hard?
No, it wasn't. I almost lost my voice for a couple of days. But, the dentist and stuff was drilling holes in my teeth. Not actually. But,
not actually.
What has been your favorite role of the 7?
Probably not Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, my first one, which was Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I was a leopard. And I guess, all the costumes... which my mom made, which is 40 costumes, animal costumes, and I guess all the lights and the action in it, and I don't know, it was really fun.
It was a fun production.
Yeah,
that was.
And meeting everybody, and then meeting more people and like other plays and stuff.
That was a good one. And how old are you?
I'm 12.
12? And so what grade?
Fifth.
Fifth grade. All right. So coming down to the end of your school year right now.
Yeah.
Good. What would you like? This is a long ways off, but would you like to get into some sort of performance when your school days are done?
Hamilton. I'd really like to be in Hamilton.
Hamilton. All yeah. right.
Or, yeah, that's...
No, probably. They're doing an Elvis Presley...
Oh, yeah. So Baz Luhrmann, the director of the Elvis movie, he's doing a Elvis on stage play, but... And I want to audition, but it's
yeah,
in New
so
York.
If we could go to New York and audition, I said no.
Yeah, but like, I could be young.
You wanted
Elvis.
To be all young Elvis. Anyways, back to Snow White.
Yeah. Still off the subject, I just saw the Baz Luhrmann epic Elvis
concert. Yeah,
did you see that? Wasn't
yeah,
that
we
outstanding?
Did. It was wonderful.
Yeah. You felt like you were at Elvis' concert.
It was
He's still
amazing.
Alive or something.
Yeah.
So.
We're going to see an Elvis impersonator on the 10th at the Legacy, so we do that a lot.
Awesome. Sounds like fun. Well, good luck with
Elvis
your role.
All the time. Unless he snores.
Good luck. I was in a few productions over the years where they could have called me Snore, but it was like a derogatory thing.
Yeah, and also, we just did a commercial, too, for it.
Oh, yeah, for Ace Hardware. We just did a commercial.
Our sponsor.
One of our sponsors, Ace Hardware. Yeah, it's really cute. If you haven't seen it, you need to check it out.
How can we see it?
It's YouTube. On YouTube.
Ben, there's this guy's.
Yeah. Ben Kelch's.
Benjamin
Kalicious?
Close. Kalicious?
No.
Yeah. Go to YouTube and type in Ben Kelch.
Kelch.
Okay. Don't type in Kalicious.
I think it's the newest.
Although you will get a sneak peek of the elf. Oh, gosh.
The dwarf costumes.
On.
And then, of course, Alaric did awesome too in it.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Miss Mila.
Sarge.
Our Snow White. She did wonderful.
Sure. But Snore. It's like another name for Sleepy,
mm-hmm.
too.
Sure, right, yeah. Exactly.
And
so
Sarge is another name for Doc.
All right. Well, let's bring on Sarge. He's been quiet over there too long there. Alaric Riley. Hi there. How you doing?
Good.
Tell us about your character, Sarge.
Sarge is the leader of the dwarves. He makes sure they don't get in any trouble and kind of leads them on their way.
What do you like about the part? Are there some challenges? I mean, to playing the part?
No, not really. He doesn't really need to know how to talk loud and be in charge.
Okay. Oh, sure. So the boss, in other words.
Yeah.
Right.
Sarge is in charge.
Sarge is large and in charge. So how many productions have you been in?
You've probably done 7. This will probably be your 7th as well.
Yeah,
I think
so.
And Alaric has been doing a lot of tech stuff for us.
Oh yeah,
in the booth.
He did tech.
His dad's the tech director.
Right, so
Kevin Riley.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So, do you like being on stage or do you being off stage behind the scenes more?
I like them both, but if I had to pick one, I think it's being on stage. I really like being on stage.
Why do you think people should come see Snow White? You're going to put a plug in. Why should people come see it?
Well, it's a really fun show, and there's a lot of things that I feel like people would find interesting and laugh at.
Mm-hmm. Have you built a camaraderie with the other dwarfs? You know, you're kind of a team.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself backstage. How much are the dwarves on stage?
A lot.
Half the time,
yeah,
probably.
Half the time?
A lot of the time.
Half the time.
Uh-huh. Interesting. What about some other interests, Alaric? Do you have some other things that you like off stage?
School, probably.
School? You like school?
Schoolwork, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
getting
school
the hard work. Questions in.
do you have to bring some schoolwork with you to play practice?
No, I usually get it done.
Do you really? Well, good for you. Yeah, that's awesome. Working ahead. I like that. Have you thought about being in more productions or some things you'd like to do down the road?
Well, I certainly like being with the community players.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably do more shows if I, as long as I can.
You better.
Yeah. Once it gets in your blood, it's hard to get it out.
It is. It's very hard to leave. It's like I keep saying, it's a family. They're my family.
Once you're part of the family, of the family.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
well, last but not least, we've kept her quiet. Mila Marks is here as well. Snow White. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you on with us. I was worried maybe you'd oversleep. You know? But you didn't. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mila.
I have been playing piano for 8 years, guitar for 1 year. I would consider myself musically inclined. I do choir, I do band. I have been into theater since I was 5. I just love music all in general, and this was a great opportunity for me to test out acting.
Had you ever dreamed that you'd play Snow White someday?
Not particularly Snow White, but I have thought about getting a lead role one day, and this is what I've been thinking about.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you like about the part and maybe what some challenges will be as you face this.
So she's very princessy. She's very good with children and really everyone in general. And I consider myself to be a decently social person. So it's very easy to get into that mindset. Some challenges have been the costumes. I bought 6 different wigs and had to try them all on. And we chose one top contender, and I believe it looks pretty good.
Okay. So you didn't just color your hair. You've actually got a wig.
Oh, no. We're getting a wig.
Going all out. Do you have little animals that follow you around?
Yes, we do have the forest animals that play a part. I get a scene with the forest animals where I sort of, you know, it's very cute. Not going to go into depth on that one.
Interact with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned music. Do you have any singing? Is that a part of this production?
So I do have 2 sort of lullaby sort of parts. They're very short, but I get that, and that's very fun.
What about some other interests you have when you're not on stage, Mila?
Again, music in general. I love listening to music, singing. I also like arts and crafts type of stuff, bracelet making, you know.
Interesting.
You know, I've got to say, I've heard Liz Niemeyer speak very, she's got a very good voice. So, just by the by. So, she's not just talking.
And if Liz says she probably does.
Yeah, right? Liz has never told me I have a good voice. So
I can't believe that. So, and what grade are you in, Mila?
I'm in 8th grade.
8th grade. All right. Interesting. So,
I think she skipped a grade.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a part, I'm not sure, how old is Snow White supposed to be in the original?
In the original, it started out when she was just a baby, like 5 years old, 7 years old, but very young. We could just say very much, much younger than we would approve of nowadays, I think. So,
yeah. Interesting. So the challenge is you're playing someone maybe a little bit older than you. Then,
yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And in terms of why somebody should come see it, any thoughts on that?
Honestly, it's just been a really fun experience for me. I like how the script portrays the characters, and I love our cast. We have some amazing people on cast, and I just feel like it's an amazing thing to see. It's artistic, even.
Uh-huh. Do you have to spend time, like, laying motionless and...
Yes, sleeping? Very much so. I have
very uncomfortable looking.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. How hard? What kind of a challenge is that?
It's a lot of collapsing, really. It's hard to play fake dead when you're not dead.
Yeah.
The other thing that I can see is when youngsters come to see it, they're really going to look up to you. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting role for you, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom worked as a nanny for about 6 years more. So I have dealt with children for a long while. I don't have any siblings myself, but I've dealt with taking care
all
of children.
All the kids swarm her when she walks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, all the kids swarm her. She's very beloved by all the kids, all the cats, the woodland creature, everybody. She's a great.
She's one of us.
Yeah, she's one of us. No, she's a wonderful young lady, and I'm very proud of her, and I just met her not long ago. So
what prompted you to audition, Mila?
I've always looked for theater opportunities. I just moved to the school this year, and the main reason I moved was because of the opportunities to act, to sing, to do all that type of stuff. And Richland Center had that. So when I moved here and saw the chance to audition, of course I wanted to audition. When I had filled out the audition sheet, I had marked off all the roles that I thought I could get. So the Vixen, a few others. And then I noticed that it said, check which ones you would be okay with accepting. And I was like, well, I would love to accept a lead role, obviously. So I finally checked Snow White.
Good move.
Yeah. I ended up getting it.
Did you have to sing to audition, or did you
I did not have to sing to audition, but I knew that if I had to, I would be prepared.
That you would do it. Yeah, good deal. So it's over a couple of weekends, and that sometimes is a challenge, too. You've got to get up for one weekend and then kind of, you know, regroup, rest, and then come back for the next weekend, too. Are you looking forward to being in more productions?
Oh, very much so. I want to do this for as long as I can.
And in high school, you'll have the opportunity as well.
Yes.
So, at Richland Center High School. In fact, I think it's musical year next year for
us. Yes. Yeah. Yep, it's musical year.
Yeah. Good.
They're doing Mamma Mia, I think.
Mamma Mia. Oh.
Maybe. Don't call me. That's just what I've heard.
We'll ask Liz when
she
gets back from her trip.
Yeah, I believe it's Mamma Mia, because I'd been asked to do costumes.
Wonderful. Dave, you got a wonderful cast here, and Mila was quite a find for you, too.
Oh, like I said, I'm very proud of the talent that's here, and yeah, the fact that she came in, and I knew Mila prior to this, but I didn't know she had the talent that she did, and the love and passion for music and theater, and so when down the road, when the next Meryl Streep over here shows up, you know who discovered her.
He'll take all the credit, right?
Yeah, I will take the credit, for sure.
Tickets are very reasonably priced for this production.
Yeah, we wanted to, again, because it's a family show, and I know it's difficult for families, you know, if you've got mom and dad and three kids or whatever it is, it gets pretty expensive. So, yeah, $10 for adults and $5 for children. I don't know what we said the cutoff was, but
18 and under.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, very reasonable for tickets. Because we want lots of people.
Under 18. Under 18. Not 18.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that one of the productions could sell out?
Well, there's always a chance that that could happen. Now, we're seating 450 in the auditorium right now, and I would like to take a moment to do a plug for the Richland County Performing Arts, Richland County Performing Arts Council, who's done a tremendous amount of work on the auditorium over the past couple of years. New seats, repainted, the stage is painted, it's all cleaned up. The basement has been cleaned up, stuff that people don't even see. Now they're working on the balcony. They come in and are working there almost every day, literally almost every day working on that theater. And so it's really, you know, more than spiffed up. There's been dramatic improvements in the theater. And so it's much more of a pleasure to come see a show there, too. And we're very grateful to that and grateful to them for having done that.
When you sit in the seats, it's almost like a different venue.
Yeah,
isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, it's not a torture chamber anymore. Where how much longer can I sit here to watch this?
You don't have to grab a cushion when you first walk in.
Right.
And here's your cushion. Yes.
Right. There is a bat there.
Well, it's a pet bat, though.
Yeah,
his name is Bruce. Yeah. We named it Bruce.
We've trained it.
Can you work it into Snow White?
It does. As long as it comes out when the Queen's there.
Yeah, I already told Liz about that, to be able to ad lib.
We set one free the other night.
Oh, right.
Jenny was brave and picked it up. And
I'm not scared of it.
With a scarf.
Although I do have an amazing video of me releasing it, and my wonderful son screaming at the top of his lungs because it went flying at him. And I show it to many people that want to see it. So if you see me out and you want to see the video, just hit me up. I'll show you the video of my son freaking out about bats. Because he just said, no, hold on. He just said he wasn't afraid of bats. And then 2 seconds later was running in the street screaming.
Also, Matt DeRoe is the co-director, and he's done a really good job.
He heard it a block away.
Oh, I bet. That could be in the DVD extras.
Yeah, yep. I think we should put this in there somewhere.
Blooper reel.
Yeah.
But it looks like all the stage is set for it. And I know, Dave, you're going to be back a little bit later on with more cast
I'd like
members.
To bring some more dwarves and other characters in. And hope maybe we can get Liz away from school to come for a little bit and talk. So
good. And she's the Wicked Queen, right?
She's the evil queen.
She's the queen, but we keep calling her the evil queen. Because she is. She is evil, as you will find out.
I'm sure it's going to be tremendous. Thanks, guys, for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Right. Thank you.
You bet. Snow White joining us at WRCO, Jennifer Seide, Mila Marks, Andrew Sharp, Hunter Danes, Lyric Riley, Dave Tim. And again, the production date's coming up on Friday, the 17th. It opens up, and Saturday, the 18th, both nights at 7, Sunday at 2. The following weekend, same times, April 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Richland Center City Auditorium.